it says this. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who ill-treat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And even if you do good, and if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Let's pray with these words open before us. Father, we would want to be honest and say that this is a hard teaching. Father, as we have a Remembrance Sunday and we think of all those who lost their lives, to hear a passage like this on a day like today can be hard. But we want to admit that, and we want to say, Lord, if we hear your voice today, help us not to harden our hearts, but to listen attentively and to look for our lead from the Lord Jesus today. And we ask it in his name. Amen. Sometimes in my amazing parenting skills, that's a joke, by the way, in my amazing parenting skills, sometimes I say to my kids, listen, you're a Howard, behave like a Howard. Now, I don't really know what I mean when I say that, but it's this idea. It feels like a great line to say to a child. You're a Howard, so behave like a Howard. But actually, do you know what? Probably what I'm trying to say to them is that, look, you're part of my family. I'm your dad, and I want you to behave the way that I behave. They're in trouble. They're in trouble if that's true. But actually, what you're trying to say is, I want you to live the family way. You belong to this family. And when we're out and about, I want you to behave like a member of this family. That's what I say to my children. You can tell a lot, can't you, about the way, where someone comes from, where they belong, by the way that they behave. Now, will you look with me at verse 36, the very end of this section of teaching that Jesus gives. He says to his disciples, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. It's this idea of you're a Howard, behave like a Howard, that underpins this whole section of teaching from Jesus on loving your enemies and doing good to those to hate you. See, look at verse 27. Look at how he starts. He says, but to you who are listening. We know from verse 20, if you look up the page there, that he's looking at his disciples. He's looking at those that he has called from an old way of life. And he's now said to them, follow me. That's who he's talking to. That's who he's addressing. He's not addressing the world when he says these difficult commands. He's addressing his followers. Those that he's called to a new way of life. And he looks at them and he looks them in the eye. And that is true whether they're disciples on that mountain or they are you this morning as a follower of Jesus. And he looks at us and he says, I want you to behave the family way. I want you to behave like my Father in heaven. Now, as they get down from that mountain, the people here. And this morning, if you're a follower of Jesus, as we leave this building, what is Jesus saying to us? He's saying, I want you to leave here and go out into the world and behave like a member of the family. Behave like your Father in heaven. Whether that is in your workplace, boys and girls, when you go to school and you sit in your classroom tomorrow, Whether that's going to the doctor's surgery, the next appointment that you've got, whether that's driving your car, whether that's shopping and you're standing in the queue, wherever you are, Jesus says, I want you to behave the family way. And he says it, he summarizes the family way with one word. Do you see that in verse 36? What's the word that he summarizes it with? Have a look down. What's the word? Tell me. Merciful. That is the family way. Now, merciful is a one-word description. What does this word mean? Well, let me show you what it means, because I want to describe it this morning as this. Shocking kindness. That is what this word merciful means. Actually, if you kind of look at it, it's not a word that's very... The word mercy, the word we have mercy, is translated lots of times in the Bible. But this is a different word. And it only appears like three or four times in the whole New Testament. And it's a word that means compassion. It means kindness. It means help. And it's that kind of idea. Jesus is saying that the family way is to show shocking kindness. Now, I use the word shocking because if you are awake this morning when we were reading the Bible, there should have been something shocking about what we read. Love your enemies. That is not what the world would say, is it? Do harm to those who hate you. Now, that's what the world says. No, Jesus says do good. There's something shocking about this. And Jesus, at the end of this little section, he summarizes what he's saying to his disciples as be merciful. Be shockingly kind, just as your father is shockingly kind. That is the family way. That is his instruction to his followers this morning. He puts it like this. Be shockingly kind. Be shockingly kind to everyone you meet. That is the family way. And all I want to do this morning with the time that we've got left is to take that truth. It's not a complex command, but it's a hard one. And I want to take this command and I want to rub it into our hearts this morning. I want to work it in and I want to help us to think through, just in part this morning, what it will look like for us to get down from the mountain, as it were, and go and live this out with the people and the places you go this week. And before we start anywhere, before we can leap into this passage and think, oh, what does it mean for me to love my enemies? There's something you have to get right. There's some way that you have to see these verses. And it's this. This is how God treats us. That's what you have to see before anything else, because that will turn these commands upside down for you. If you've come this morning and you're just listening to this as a set of rules, you think that is impossible, and you're right. But when you see this, then suddenly these commands unlock. This is how God has treated us. Just look with me again at verse 27. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who ill-treat you. Probably you're like me when you watch a film. You want to identify with the hero, don't you? You don't want to identify with the bad guy in a film. You're like, oh yeah, I want some of the hero action. And when we read these verses, we leap to, oh, I've got to love my enemies. And these verses then become difficult. But if you see these verses not first of all as a command to you, but as a description of you, then suddenly it changes the way you think. See, whose shoes do you stand in these verses? Who are you? Well, they change, don't they, if you are the enemy. They change if you are the hater. They change if you are the curser. They change if you're the one who does the ill-treating. These are good news for those people, right? If you're the one who's done the hating, if you're the one who's been the enemy. But actually, first and foremost, these are description of the way that you and I, whoever we are, whatever sort of life we've lived, they are a description of the way that we treat God. Actually, we're the ones who've slapped God in the cheek. We're the ones who've chosen to live life without him. He made us, and yet we swan off on our own like we don't need him. We're the ones who take stuff from God. We're sitting here clothed in a building. We're breathing air. We take from God all the time. But we never give back. We never want to acknowledge him. We choose to do life without him. A friend of mine was a soldier. It wasn't Luke, but another friend. And he said to me that everyone prays on the battlefield. Everyone prays. But isn't that true? In crisis, who do we go to? We often pray. We pray to God. What do we do? Isn't that verse 30? Give to everyone who asks you. We ask of God in crisis. We say, God, I need your help right now. And God sometimes graciously gives us that help. But what do we do? Well, we then carry on as if he hadn't. Do you see this? Actually, when you see these verses through that lens, the shockingness of the way that we have treated God, we're the enemies, we're the haters, we're the ones who've ill-treated God, then suddenly these verses feel very different. Because look at how God is described halfway through verse 35. It calls him the Most High, and it says that he, God, the Most High, is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. God is kind to those who take everything from him but don't even say thank you. And he is kind to the wicked. Now that word here doesn't mean, boys and girls, like, you know, we use it like wicked, like really good. It doesn't mean that. Wicked here means actually those who choose to live life without God. God, those who choose to walk the opposite way to what God says is right. That's what he means by wicked. And who is he kind to? To those people. You see, this is shocking kindness that everyone on this planet experiences. You may not realize this, but everyone alive today experiences this kindness from God. So Matthew puts it like this. It says that he causes his son, the literal son, not S-O-N but S-U-N, his son to rise on the evil and the good. That happens every day. It's an act of his kindness. If the sun didn't rise, we'd all freeze or we'd all, you know, burn to death. One of the two. It's his son he causes to rise. It's his rain that he causes to fall on the righteous and the unrighteous. I know we grumble about rain, but if we didn't have rain, we wouldn't have food. And if we didn't have food, we'd die. You see, it's his kindness. This is it. It's what writers call common grace. It's his acts of kindness to a world that is ungrateful and wicked. And this is shocking kindness when you think about how we've treated God that we experience on a grand scale every day. We experience it, we taste it every day. And before you and I this morning can get stuck into this passage and say, what does it look like for me to leave here and love my enemies? You need to start by remembering that this is how God treats you. Every day. He's kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. But actually, if you're here and you're a follower of Jesus, he's addressing disciples. This shocking kindness of God shines brightest in the coming and the dying and the rising of our Lord Jesus. That is where we have experienced his shocking kindness. See, the Bible tells us that for God so loved the world. What world? The world that hated him, the world that doesn't want anything to do with him, the world that treats him like he doesn't exist, the world that tries to dismiss him by saying science has got all the answers. That's the world that he loved so much that he sent his son into the world to die for them. It says in a book of the Bible called Romans, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, his enemies, Christ died for us. That is shocking kindness. The cross itself, if you just read on in Luke's Gospel, the cross of our Lord Jesus brings together all this truth. If you want to see how we treat God, then go and read the cross story. Because at the cross, what do you see? You see God hated, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, hated, ill-treated. He was treated angrily by his enemy, slapped in the cheek, literally. His clothes were taken. You see that verse 29? They asked for his shirt. Where did the Lord Jesus end up? Naked. Everything. They took everything from him. That's what we do to God. That's how we treat him when he turns up. Do you see that? That's the shock of this. But why did he do it? Why did he allow himself to go through all of that? Because he was loving his enemies. That we might be forgiven of our sins. He was doing us good to bring us eternal life. See, if God never asks us to do anything that he hasn't done himself. Do you know that? God never calls you to do something that he has not done. And our Lord Jesus is the one who loved his enemies, who did good to those who hated him, who prayed for those. He prayed over Jerusalem, the very city, the very people that were going to kill him. He prayed for them. Do you see that? These verses are not so much commands to us as a description of us and the way God has treated us. And when you see that, you'll begin to see that this is shocking kindness. God shows us, if you're a follower of Jesus this morning, shocking kindness. And this is where you have to start. If you're going to go out this week and possibly even slightly live out these commands to love your enemies, to do good to those who hate you, to pray for those who ill treat you, to bless those who curse you. If you're going to do that this week, you have to start here. That this is how God has treated me in the Lord Jesus. And you see, it's not like we go and conjure it up. Actually, the way that it works in the Bible speak is this, that as we experience this love, as we experience this kindness, it produces the fruit in us of acting the same. It's only as we taste this love, it's then that we start to display the family likeness. Someone said to me last week, I was on a conference, which was a really good time, but a friend who's known me since I was a boy said, "Oh, you really act like your dad now." Now, why is that? Because that's how I saw him behave. It's what I saw watching it. It kind of, you learn it by seeing it. And that's the same is true. If you understand that these commands, first and foremost, are the way God has treated you in Jesus, then you'll start to display the family likeness. It's a fruit of it. That's the way. This is how God treats us. And just a word to you this morning, if you wouldn't call yourself a follower yet, if you're not kind of in the group of disciples that Jesus is speaking to, but in the crowd that's standing around, then can I say to you this morning that this shocking kindness, this mercifulness of God is extended to you this morning? He holds out his hand and he says, "I want to show you shocking kindness. Whatever you've done, whatever your background, whatever you're worried about, Jesus puts out his hand to you today and he says, look, come and get this shocking kindness. I came into this world for people like you and people like me. That's why he came. And so take hold of that shocking kindness this morning." But if this is how God has treated us, then the next obvious thing to say is this, isn't it? Is this is how we are to treat others. This is how we are to treat others. Now, I want to play a quick game. You've got to work with me on this one, okay? So you've got to think in your head. If I say the word enemy, what face pops into your head? What face pops into your head? Don't say it out loud, please, whatever you do. Don't say it out loud. Now, if I say that word enemy, what pops into your head? Now, I asked my kids this over dinner. Woo, that was an awkward conversation. I asked them at dinner time this week, who were their enemies? And to my horror, they said each other. I was like, that wasn't quite what I had in mind, and I'm not sure that's entirely true. But when you read a passage like this, love your enemies, who comes to mind? Maybe you're sitting there this morning thinking, actually, I don't really have any enemies. Maybe you're one of these nice people that's a friend of everyone and everyone gets on well with you. Maybe you think of the big enemies. You know, maybe you think of the worldwide enemies at the moment and you think, oh, they're our enemy. Who are the enemies that Jesus is talking about? Who does he tell his disciples to love? Who are those who hate you? Who are those who ill treat you? Who are those who curse you? What does Jesus mean? And it's probably not each other, my kids. But Jesus, I'll tell you who he seems to have in mind. So given what Alex looked at us with last week, I wasn't here, but I know that he covered the section before. Actually, it seems to be primarily those who oppose the church, who oppose Jesus, who make life difficult for you because you're a Christian. And you're thinking, really? Does that really happen? Well, yes, it does. So you'll know that all over the world, Christians are persecuted in intense ways, physical ways. So there are Christians in countries like Eritrea that are locked in containers because of their faith in Jesus. They're left there to starve and to die. That's the physical nature. Are there enemies of God's people? Absolutely there are. But what about here? Do we have enemies in this country? Yes, we do. They may be kind of not as physical, but there are people who oppose the message of Jesus. It is true. Even the other day, I was having a conversation with a man out on the street just over the way, and it was a very aggressive conversation. He was very angry with me, and I think if I hadn't finished the conversation, it may have ended physically. He was very angry. Why? Because I was telling him about Jesus. You think, can that really make someone angry? Yes, it does. And these primarily are the people that he's talking about. These are the people that we're to love and we're to do good to. Those who hate the message of Jesus. But actually, we won't have to think too hard, some of us, to think about wider enemies. It's not just those who oppose Jesus, who oppose the message, who oppose the church. For some of us, we'll have faces that very quickly spring to mind when we use the word enemy. For some of us, it will be faces of people who've given us the cold shoulder for lots of years. It'll be people in our families who have treated us badly, really badly. And when I say the word enemy, it's their face that comes to mind. For some of us, it will be kids at school. So I'm sure that you guys, when you think of an enemy, might think of a kid who makes life difficult for you. A kid who always picks on you, or when you're having a game of football at playtime, is always the one who fouls you or kicks you to the ground. That might be your enemy of the moment. But nonetheless, that's an enemy. Someone that we think is against us. It could be those people at work who take the credit for something you've done. It could be that boss who's just really awkward. It could be the institution. It could be the government. You know, there could be lots of people that we think are against us. That is who Jesus is talking about. That is our enemies. And as I reflected on this week, a little bit, I was thinking that it's not like I have one big enemy. You know, sometimes we like to think about movies and you've got the good guy and the bad guy, and you know, you've got this kind of big gorilla type enemy who wants to take you down. Actually, very often it's momentary enemies, isn't it? So it's the person who cuts you up in the car. Momentarily they become your enemy because you're angry with them. Or it's the person who shouts at you in the shop. Or it's the person who treats you rudely down the phone. Those are momentary enemies, and we have lots of them, don't we? And that's who Jesus is talking about when he says, love your enemies. For some of us, the sad reality will be, if I say the word enemy, that actually maybe a face here pops to mind. Someone in the church. You're thinking, well, you know, the way they spoke to me that time, and you haven't forgiven them, and there's anger and there's enemies here. That's the sad reality for some of us. But just look again at verse 27 and 28. But to you who are listening, to you followers of Jesus, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who ill-treat you. I want to show you this morning that what he means by that, with what he says in following, can be summarized in two ways. If this is helpful, take it. If it's not, don't worry about it. He says this. I think he's saying, loving your enemies, doing good to those who harm you, is actually about, first of all, the way you react to people. And then it's about the way that you act towards people. So there's a react, i.e. the way you respond. And then there's a way that you actually actively treat people. And actually the first one is the reactions, isn't there? So take these words, verse 29. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Now if the world was to write that chapter, what would it say? If someone slaps you in the cheek, slap them back harder. If they're bigger than you, find another way to hurt them. That's what it would say, right? That's the world's way. Or if someone takes something from you, do everything in your power to make sure they don't ever take anything else from you and make sure they get put away. That's what we say. That's what the world says. That is the reaction of the world. But what does Jesus say? He tackles the heart, doesn't he? And he says the way that you are to react when someone slaps you, when someone takes something from you, when someone is taking something from you and not going to give it back, he says that you react not with retaliation, but with leaving yourself in a place where it may well happen again. That's the attitude that Jesus is pushing here. We might say, oh, but you're leaving yourself really vulnerable. Yes, he is. That's exactly what Jesus is saying. In Romans 12 and actually in Corinthians as well, it kind of talks about you have such an attitude of entrusting yourself to the one who judges justly that you say, actually, look, this is out of my hands. I trust God here. And you don't retaliate. That's the way we're called to react. That's what it means to love your enemies. Not to try and get your own back. Not to bundle at them, lump them as hard as you can. But actually to stand back and react, not with retaliation, but with love. That's what he means, but it's not just that, you know. Let me think about that for a moment. So what might that look like? Okay, so if we're going to react that way, let me give some examples. So let's go back to you guys at school for a moment. Okay, so listen here. So you're playing your game of football at lunchtime, kicking a ball around, and someone kind of ploughs into you deliberately to knock you over. What are you going to do? Well, how are you going to react? You see, the world would say, well, you get up and you hit them so they don't do it again. I've done that too many times in playing sport, and I wish I hadn't, but that's the world's way. But Jesus' way is where you get up and you play on as if it, and you know, play in a way that it could allow it to happen again. That's the way. You don't hit them, you don't hurt them, you don't retaliate against them. You just get up and allow yourself to keep going in a way where, yes, he may well do it again. For some of us, it could be that we have to kind of, you know, the person on the phone, you know, the awkward doctor's surgery receptionist, so you book your appointment and they're saying something against you. What are you going to do? Well, it's the way that you talk to them, you know, that you could be really short and really sharp. That's retaliation. That's because you're frustrated. But Jesus says, don't react like that. Turn the other cheek. Allow them to be rude to you, as it were. This is hard teaching, right? Do you find this hard? But actually, you know, what about those when we're out on the streets? So some of us yesterday were giving out just a few flyers. And what about when you're on the streets and someone says to you, I don't want any of that Jesus nonsense. You guys are just brainwashing everyone, blah, 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 blah. Whatever people say to us, how are you going to react? You're going to get angry back? You're going to get on your high horse and say, oh, you know, well, you don't know what you're talking about. You're going to be angry with them? You're going to retaliate? No, we're to react with love. So it's about the way that we react. Do you see that? That's what he's saying here. But it's also about the way that we act towards others. You see, we're very good, aren't we, at being passive. Actually, most of us could cope with Jesus' teaching if it just meant ignoring a few people. We can cope with that, can't we? Oh, I'll just ignore my enemies. I'll just, you know, then I won't get into any confrontation. But Jesus doesn't let you get away with that, because look at what he says. He says, actively do good. He has three commands. Do good, pray, and bless those who curse you. That is his active goodness. We are to actively show kindness. So that person at work who always makes life difficult for you, just imagine that scenario where you have a piece of information that person needs to do their job. Now, when you're feeling angry and retaliating, what do you do? Well, you kind of hold it back as long as you can, or maybe you don't give it to them because it's a subtle way to get your own back. Now, Jesus says that if we're living his way, well, then be quick to give it to them. Yeah, you may treat me like rubbish, but I'm going to be good to you. Or boys and girls, go back to the classroom. Maybe you get paired up with that kid in the class who is really awkward and has been really mean to you. And you've got to help them with their work and you know how to do it and they don't. What are you going to do? Jesus says, do good to those who hate you. Help them with their work. Be different. Do you see how this works itself out? We're to be actively good to those who might not be good to us. Those who have treated us badly, whether that's at work or at home. We're to give to those who won't necessarily be able to pay us back. Jesus says that is what it looks like. That is what it looks like to be someone who behaves like our Father in heaven. To react in the right way and to act in the right way. Jesus summarizes it in verse 31. He says, do to others as you would have them do to you. See, there may not be one individual that you have this constant tussle with. There may be one big enemy in your life, an all-consuming enemy. But the reality is, Jesus is asking us to adopt a way of life. And he says this, do to others as you would have them do to you. The world says, treat others how they have treated you. Someone hits you, you hit them back. Someone's mean to you, you're mean to them back. But Jesus says, no, treat others as you would have them treat you. That's what we've got to go out and do this week. Now, if you're still paying attention, I hope you're still paying attention. This is hard teaching, right? And you know, we want to be blunt about this. If you're still paying attention, then you may well get your little lawyer out at this point. Your little lawyer who wants to find every loophole in Jesus' teaching. Because I'll tell you where my mind goes when I hear this teaching of Jesus. It wants to find, well, surely he can't mean this. And surely he can't mean this. And maybe he can't mean I've got to treat this person that way. Surely Jesus doesn't mean that. That's what we do, right? But can I tell you there's a danger in doing it? Yes, there are exceptions. Yes, there are things that if we take the whole balance of the Bible, that there are things that are right and wrong to do. But don't lose the impact of what Jesus is saying. There is a danger that you dismiss it away today. And you say, love your enemies. Well, he can't mean this and he can't mean this. And you leave her and you miss what Jesus is trying to do. Love your enemies. Be shockingly kind to those who are shockingly kind to you. This week, when we leave here, it is this behaviour that should mark out our life. It is this behaviour that should mark your life when you're shopping and you're driving and you're on the bus and when you're in the queues and when you're at school. It is this behaviour that should make us, this is the way we should behave. This is the way that we should treat others. And then the third and final thing, much more briefly, is this is behaviour that makes us different. This is behaviour that makes us different to the world. I don't know if you've ever been into a supermarket and they have those little taster trays and there's someone walking around. You ever had that experience? Where they kind of give you a little taste of something and so you go and buy the big thing. Well, can I say to you this morning that if you're paying attention, if you are one of Jesus' followers, you are like a taster tray for the shocking kindness of God in our world. You see, just have a look with me at verse 32. It's a series of questions. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners. Now, the term sinners there just means those living life without God. That's what it means here. Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. Do you see that? The world, there's nothing unusual about loving those who are loving back. There's nothing unusual about doing good to those who do good. I have plenty of friends who are not Christians, who are fantastic dads, who are fantastic friends, who do good. There's little circles of love and goodness, and it's nice to see. But what makes you different if you're a follower of Jesus is that you do it to those who won't just love you back. You do it to those who harm you. The world is very good at the other bit sometimes, but it's not so good at the God bit. The bit that makes us like our Father in heaven. It's easy to lend money, isn't it, to those who you know are going to give it to you back. It's easy to help those who you know are going to help you back. It's easy to be kind to those who are going to be kind to you. It's not so easy to do it, is it, when they're not going to do it back to you in the workplace or at home or at school or wherever it may be. But you see, look again at verse 35. Here's the blunt commands. But love your enemies, do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High. This is behaviour that makes you different, because it's behaviour that shows the family you really belong to. It's the real behaviour. Now please hear me right this morning. It is not this behaviour that makes you a child of God, but it is this behaviour that shows you are a child of God. It is only followers, only those saved by Jesus, by his grace, called out of an old way of life to follow him, who can live this way. It is only them. And therefore it shows what family you belong to. Jesus is saying this is the family way. Sons and daughters of the Most High. This behaviour makes us different to the world. That we're living for a different reward. You see that verse 35? Then your reward will be great. Do you know what? If you lend to someone and they're not going to give it back, a believer says, well, it doesn't matter, I've got nothing to lose in this life from loving my enemies. Why? Because I've got so much more to gain in the life to come. You see, when you've got your eyes on the end, it's a bit like what Alex was talking about last week. When you've got your eyes on the end, when you've got your eyes on what will come, it liberates you. It liberates you this week to live like this. It frees you to love your enemies. It frees you to do good to those who hate you. Because your reward will be great and you will be displayed. You're like a taster tray in this world for the loving, shocking kindness of God. Wouldn't that be great if people encountered people from this local church and said, wow, you guys are shockingly kind. And then in tasting the shocking kindness that we show, they are led to the shocking kindness of God, the one who sent his Son into the world to die for sinners like us. Wouldn't that be a great thing that happened this week? Jesus looks at his followers this morning. That's us, if you're a follower of Jesus. And he says, be merciful. Be shockingly kind, just as your Father is kind. May Jesus help us this week, because I know I'm going to need Jesus' help this week to do that. This is not a rustle it up a bit harder. This is his help that will enable us to be shockingly kind this week. Let's pray as we finish. Our Father in heaven, as we prayed at the start, these commands can be shocking commands. But many of us in this room this morning want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts that this is how you have treated us. Father, this is how you've treated us as we lived in the world without you, as we sung earlier, when we were lost in darkest night, when we ran our hellbound race. Father, every day you were kind to us and we thank you. But we especially want to thank you that your shocking kindness has been shown to us in the Lord Jesus. As he endured the hatred, the ill treatment, the nakedness of the cross, so that we might be saved. Father, we thank you that you've loved us, that you've done good to us, that you've prayed for us, that you've blessed us, even though we've done the opposite to you. And Father, we ask that this week, please, you would help us to be those who leave here and live different lives, that we live the family way as we go out to our workplaces, as we drive our cars, as we walk down the street, as we get on the bus, whatever we're going to do this week, please, please help us to live like you in the places you put us. Father, we ask this, please, in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.